7:30 on a Monday morning, and if you're just tuning in, welcome to the show, welcome to your Monday morning, and welcome to Radio Life and Style. You're with me, Mike, in the morning, and after a little Jeremy Loops tune, making waves. Well, sometimes before you get to the wave, you have to start with a little ripple, and that's where we're heading right now. Penny Faree is in the house for another edition of what is becoming quite a cool local community segment on Radio Life and Style. It's called The Ripple. And happy Monday, Penny.
Yes.
How are you?
Good morning to you. Top of the morning to all our listeners as well on a Monday morning. I think we're going to have a good week. And, you know, every week on The Ripple, we go looking for the people doing quiet, extraordinary work in our communities. And this morning, we found one. Grateful and Mandini, a community on the North Coast, carrying something heavy right now, teenage pregnancies, gender-based violence. We have these crises that don't always get spoken about in the same breath, but they should be because they are deeply connected. Our guest this morning looked at that and didn't look away. Instead, he started something called the In Touch Gender Cohesion Program, and his weapon of choice is dance. Colin Mandel is the founder of this development program, and we are going to be speaking to him about what ripple he's creating in our community.
Hey, Colin, welcome. Welcome to the microphone on a Monday.
Good morning, and thanks so much for having me. Really appreciate it.
It's great to have you back. We've chatted about your business, Dance Cafe, and your life in dance on this radio station before. You had a cool interview with Dave on the mid-morning show not long ago, talking about your story, and a little slice of it, a little chapter popped up. Mentioning this very program, In Touch. It's definitely worth a deeper discussion,
yes,
eh, Penny?
Yes, and definitely for the ripple. So, Colin, just take us through what it is and what you do and how you got about doing it.
Sure. So, my background is in dance. I've been a dancer most of my life. And then one of my other jobs that I had for some 15 to 18 years was in behavior change. So I worked all over the continent doing projects like water and sanitation, gender-based violence, family planning, nutrition, and all sorts of things where behavior changed the way people look at their lives and their community. And all of them were rooted in gender. And when I say rooted in gender, that doesn't suggest that gender-based violence is the cause of everything, but gender inequity is. So it's about trying to change young people's attitudes towards one another, intergender cohesion. Yeah. So rather than looking at the violence and the negative, we'd rather look at the fix, which is gender cohesion. And the best way to do it, you know, there's a saying, you can only be what you see. My belief is you can only be what you've experienced. And the best way to experience gender cohesion in real time is through dance.
And how has that been received in the community? You said we spoke a little bit earlier, and you said it's part of the curriculum, the life skills curriculum that they've adopted at the schools. Tell us what you do and how incorporated.
South Africa has a system called CAPS. CAPS is the full curriculum of all your subjects from grade 0 to grade 12. And in grades 5, 6, and 7, they have a subject called life skills. Or life orientation, depends on which grade you're in. And it's key because it's at the time when these kids are going through puberty, right? So it's around 11, 12, 13 years old. And within life skills, the syllabus is actually really, really good, or the curriculum is great. Fact is, it's not really being taught because they talk about intimacy, sexuality, private space, personal space, touch, relationships, bullying. These are all part of the syllabus, right? But they're not teaching it. It's a very difficult thing to teach especially when you're an overcrowded class. So bear in mind, most of these classes are 50, 60. I've been to a school with 80.
Yo.
80 kids in one class, and the teacher's a woman, and you're asking her to talk to the boys about sexuality. It's just a bridge too far. Mm. Plus, they're not getting marked for it at the end of the year, so it's kind of written off as a free period. Kids go and play soccer. So we arrived with the construct of a positive attitude towards intergender cohesion. Now, although black African people are very good dancers, yeah. and everybody knows and says black people can dance. They do not have a history or tradition of dancing in couples.
Oh,
right? So they dance when they're angry, they toy toy, they dance when they're happy, they do pansula, now I'm a piano is the new thing. But it's not a couple dance. So there's no construct of a man or a boy leading a girl, sharing personal space, touching for the 2 minutes of the song, and then moving on to somebody else and dancing with her. And that's the world I come from, social dance, which is, it should be part of our social fabric. It is in countries like Cuba, Argentina, but not in Africa, except maybe Angola, because they do a dance called the Kizomba. So what we've done is introduced this idea of sharing personal space. Now, at first, it's very difficult because the boys and the girls have a little bit of history between them. The girls hate the idea of the boys touching them. They've probably been touched before, I hate to say, and not in a good way. So we're trying to change the way that they look at that construct. So partner dancing is a great way, and you can see the results in front of your eyes. It's experiential. It's not lecturing them and giving them books to learn and stuff. So
wow! And how has it been received in the classrooms?
So it starts off, and it's interesting. We did a survey with the kids. We always do before they even get into this program. There are two parts to it. So the one part they dance, and then the groups swap. We split the classes into four groups. So two go off and dance with two of my facilitators, and the others go to social worker focus groups that are gender specific. So the girls go to a female social worker, yeah. and the boys sit with the male social worker, and they talk. They just talk about relationships, proximity, touch, intimacy, bullying, and a lot of stuff comes out. It's really, really interesting. But before we even start the program, they do a survey, and we ask them about how they feel about personal space, sharing space, touch. And they don't like it. The idea of boys is scary to them. They've been told by their moms, the girls, to be careful of boys. Boys are going to impregnate them. And they do. It's true. I mean, you can't argue that.
Well, we've got one of the highest pregnancy rates in the world.
Absolutely. Right? And I think KZN is possibly one of your worst in terms of
most
gender
affected,
behavior.
Yeah.
The boys, of course, look at the girls in completely the wrong way. They see them in the kitchen and the bedroom, sadly. And so we've got to change these points of view. Now, to lecture them doesn't work. But to give them an experience where they see for themselves, and they truly believe that there's another way to share space in a respectful way, and the girls start looking at the boys differently. From fear, you start getting a little more respect, and there's been a couple of sort of glints in the eye from the girls towards the boys, but only after about 6 to 7 weeks. We do the program twice a week for 8 weeks.
Wow.
We obviously, funding permitting, will extend it to 2 terms. So 8 weeks is 1 term. We'd rather do 2 terms, and obviously we'd rather do more schools. Yeah. So everything's dependent on funding, as it always is.
Yeah. So you go into the school. This has obviously been approved by the Department of Education. You go into a school and you do the 8 week program with the certain grades, and then after the 8 weeks, what happens? You move on to the next school.
Yeah. So it's part of the school day. So there's a period, or there are 2 periods,
yes.
for life skills or life orientation. So it's not something that is elective. The entire class goes. When they first start, they don't know what to expect, but they love the dancing. There's nothing more liberating than music and movement, and it's endemic to their culture. There's absolutely, it's something that they take to straight away, far more than white people, I have to say, right? It's a little more... So it's much more natural to them. What's not natural to them is the touch and the sharing of space. So we start by breaking down eye contact. Culturally, and I'm sure you know this, eye contact is a big barrier between a boy and a girl. So just making eye contact is the first, before they even touch, we get them to dance facing each other, but making contact with the partner they're about to touch.
Okay.
Then they touch a little bit far away from one another, and then we slowly move them closer over those 8 weeks. 8 weeks is the term, so you can't go later because there are exams.
Yes, yeah.
You can't go too early because the schools have just set up. So it's really in conjunction with each school. We're doing Mandini Academy in Mandini, which is a fantastic school. We've got the buy-in from the headmaster. He really loves it. He just wants more and more, and he wants to do more grades. So he, in a perfect world, he'd do grade 5, 6, and 7.
Wow.
And we'd move through the 3 years yeah. with them and start developing a far stronger behavior change over that period.
And Colin, when it comes to hitting those goals and securing the funding to make this thing more impactful on a bigger scale, how can local organizations, local individuals support this work and the results that it's producing? I know you've partnered with some businesses for fundraisers in the past. What would the best way be?
Okay, so there's a belief that I have that it's the community here that needs to invest in their own community's well-being.
Mm.
So whilst there's bigger funding, there's funding from, I mean, we've put in a funding application to Lotto, the National Arts Council, foundations, the banks, the big corporates. Mm. So clearly that's where you're going to get a lot of your money. But I truly believe that local people need to invest. We call it hands across the highway. So you know that in South Africa there's this dysfunctional, you know, not a disconnect between the left-hand side of the highway and the right.
Mm.
We know what's, you know, and it's across the country. How we breach that is not sending money across. It's literally taking ourselves across and working with communities. So the involvement by local, you know, North Coast, Ilembe region, Kwadekuza region people is welcomed purely because they've made a commitment. Do you know what I mean? It may not be a lot of money, but that commitment is there. So we do have people who, for instance, just have a monthly debit order that just covers, for instance, transport and food for our facilitators.
Yeah.
Because I don't do this. I manage this. I've got young facilitators who are my dance teachers in my dance studio,
okay.
in Dance Cafe, right? So they've become top dancers. We're about to go to a competition, and we take a whole bunch of them with us. They're starting to win everything that's open. We're trying to take one of them overseas for Worlds.
Wow.
So we're developing two paths here. So the one job creation path is as a dance teacher, and the other one is as a facilitator in the school's work. So they're the ones on the floor. They're the ones leading by example. The young girls absolutely love my guys because they're older, they're good looking, and they can dance. And they can lead the girls, and the girls feel fabulous. So it's that involvement of just getting some sort of buy-in from local community. And we do have from some, and I'm always appreciative.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and you know what? You sent a little clip, which I will include with our socials, so people can actually visualize how
yes.
the children are dancing and how it looks in the classroom. And you know, this is something that is causing a ripple in our communities, and a lot of work happens quietly behind doors. So this is good, Colin. You're doing a good job out there. And for those who want to get involved, we will be putting all the details on our social media platforms as well.
In Touch Gender Cohesion Program. And I suppose through the Dance Cafe portals, people can reach out to you directly as well. Huh?
It's actually through the nonprofit that we work with. So we came down here and looked for a project that we can involve. So Dance Cafe is a sponsor of this program as well.
Okay.
We found a fabulous nonprofit, an NPO, that is called Inala. I know we've yes. interviewed the Inala people before. They're yes. based in Grantville. They have a Section 18A, so any donations are tax deductible. And we use that NPO, A, to get our people, because all the guys that are our facilitators are part of Inala. Most wonderful man called Patrick Bilai. And we work within the community center in Tembeni and Grantville, which is where he is. And then we take those young guys through to Mandini when we go through. So Inala is the key. Dance Cafe is just a sponsor. So we sponsor my time. We sponsor the teaching, the training, and so on.
Fantastic.
And just a thing on Ripple, because I just want to say something that just touched me, and it's a lovely story. Is we started teaching partner dancing in the community center in Grantville, and we used to go in on Sundays. And then because we got busier and busier, we stopped going. And it's sad because we felt we needed to go
yeah.
back. We went back, and when we went back, we noticed there's a whole new cohort of kids that have been taught by our guys. quite sort of in their own time. And they're all dancing. And it's like, I can die now. You know what I mean? I can walk away. We've left that ripple, and I love the name Ripple, because you start something and it's got this momentum.
It carries on.
And the sustainability is about ripple.
Yes.
Because a lot of projects have great, you know, great input and then they just fizzle out and die. I've seen that. So sustainability is key.
Yo, well, what a great note to end our Ripple Monday morning interview on. And our special guest in the studio with us this morning, Colin Mandel, a man who is leading from the front in more ways than one with the In Touch Gender Cohesion Program. And Penny, any last words from you?
No, thanks, Colin. You know, dance is such an important part of our lives, and to take something like that and put it into these critical issues of gender-based violence and what is happening on the ground, it's very, very powerful.
Wow. Yeah. Can I leave you with one stat? It's really interesting. They did this big study in the UK. What women find most attractive about men is not their bank balance. It's not their six-pack. It's a man, not who can dance, but a man who can lead me on the dance floor.
Wow.
So the best way to create this gender cohesion is through creating the demand for women to find men attractive through natural ways rather than through force.
There you go. Something to think about on a Monday. Take that with you into the week. And Colin, we'll need to have another chat again in the not too distant future. What do you say?
Thank you. Always a pleasure. And thanks so much for supporting what we do.
You heard it on Radio Life and Style. The Ripple will return with Penny Faree in another edition.
Bye, everyone.
Back to the music.